Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, listener, to the curious world of twits. You are entering a place of steam-powered servants and species extinction, of limitless power and rising seas. This is a world where the privileged few, like Cyril Chippington Smythe, whose every wish is instantly gratified, have nothing to live for but pleasure and fashion and love. Join us now for Twits in Love, a steampunk distraction by Tom Allen Robbins. Chapter 1, I Am Awakened.
Alcohol is like the cousin who owes you money. It promises everything and delivers nothing. Or perhaps it resembles that potion that Juliet slugged down. It brings a death-like sleep, but provides no balm. There was certainly a lack of balm on this spring morning as I was ripped from slumber by my valet, who cleared his throat like a tenor getting a running start at a high C. I tentatively waggled a toe, and upon this sign of consciousness, he whipped open the bedroom curtains and unleashed the sun's cruel rays upon my helpless carcass. Sunlight is beastly after a night of carousing, and I can see why vampires in novels are always complaining about it. For the love of God, Bentley! How have I transgressed? Why this cruel letting in of light? Pourquoi this throat clearing and foot tapping?
It is 9 o'clock, sir. Miss Witherspoon is joining you for breakfast in 30 minutes.
Oh! The mention of Alice Witherspoon jolted me upright, as if Bentley had poked me in the kidneys with a cattle prod. Alice Witherspoon was a limpet-like creature with matrimonial ambitions. I struggled to escape my bedclothes. Joining me for breakfast? Alice? Has the earth tilted on its axis? Has Armageddon crept in on little cat feet? Why is this horrible thing happening?
You invited her, sir. Last night.
Was I drunk?
Extremely.
I didn't say anything compromising, did I, Bentley? I made no promises. She's been hell-bent on marrying me since we were 16.
I endeavored to drip hot soup on Sir's neck at the most confessional junctures, but I could not say what may have occurred while I was bruleying the creme.
You shouldn't have left me alone with her for a moment. You know how malleable I am when I'm in my cups.
The word putty comes to mind, sir.
Oh, this is dreadful. For all we know, I could be engaged to that termagant as we speak.
I should endeavor to ascertain your position at breakfast.
Alcohol is a dreadful thing. Have you got any?
I took the liberty of preparing an eye-opener.
Bless you. I don't know where Bentley got the recipe for his morning after libation. Some say he met Lucifer at a crossroads and traded his immortal soul for it. This, of course, is impossible, as he has no soul. Ambrosia. I'll need a second coat if I'm to eat opposite Miss Witherspoon. Those enormous teeth gnashing and grinding rather put one off one's chow. It's so unnecessary. The art of false teeth has reached its golden age. They're making them out of ground-up seashells and glue or some such, I hear. Ah, oh, Bentley. Life is a veil of... something or other.
Cheers,
sir. Oh, I don't think so. Is it?
So the poets would have us believe. Just in time for the morning cannon, sir.
Right-ho. Open the window. There's a good chap. Bentley wheeled the family cannon in front of the window. I think a half charge today, Bentley. The old noggin is rather tender.
Very good, sir. And three, two, one.
Death before dishonor!
Before dishonor!
Thank you, Bentley. Quite satisfactory. As Bentley leaned over to straighten a pillow, I caught the scent of hot oil. I say, are you running a little warm today?
Nothing serious, sir. A clogged pressure release valve. I shall attend to it.
Please do. I can't have you in the shop with Alice swooping about. Flip on the shower. There's a good man. Bentley slid into the bathroom like a pat of butter on a hot pan, and I heard the pitter-patter of water I knew would be calibrated to the perfect temperature. I felt almost happy.
This might be an apropos moment to mention that Mr. Wickford Davies has been waiting on the stairs since 8 o'clock, sir.
What? Binky? The burgeoning happiness within me lost the will to live and moped off to smoke a cigarette. Binky? Why have you left him so callously on the stairs?
He claims to prefer the stairs. He states that stairs only force you to choose up or down, whereas life is a miasma of impossible decisions that all lead to the grave.
Well, give me a minute to get into the shower. Pump one of your pick-me-uppers down his throat and lead him in. You might offer him a sandwich.
There are no sandwiches, sir.
How can that be? Civilization is founded on the belief that sandwiches will always be readily available.
I'm afraid we're on rather short rations at the moment, sir. The food production facility in Weaselon-Stoke was bombed.
Who would do such a thing?
The act was attributed to anarchists.
Oh, well. I have nothing against anarchy, as long as it doesn't disrupt the minutiae of daily life. If alcohol is one's impecunious cousin, Binky is one's actual cousin, and is likewise a deadbeat. Cheswick Wickford Davies, Binky, to his friends, if he had any, has elevated sponging to an art form. He is related to practically everyone, and is so skilled at inviting himself to one thing and another that I don't believe he sees his home for weeks at a time. He supports himself by gnawing on the ankle of some distant uncle who grudgingly sends a small allowance each month. Binky is reliably good company, or was, until he fell like a hod of bricks for Alice Witherspoon's buck-toothed charms. I have a particularly vigorous shower, but even through the cataract I could hear Binky's sighs. They gradually gained in volume until I gave up and turned off the taps. What ho, old sot? Death before dishonor?
Death before dishonor.
Why all this puffing like a grampus and so on?
I've come to say goodbye, Cyril. I'm leaving for Antarctica on the next dirigible.
What on earth are you going to do in Antarctica?
I'll find something. They must need someone to sweep the ice or shoo the penguins away.
No ice in Antarctica, mon frere. That's an old wives' tale. And you may want to confirm that penguins still frolic there. Damn the great extinction.
There must be penguins or... what is life?
Slow down, old cock. I haven't had my coffee yet. You say you are going to Antarctica to herd penguins, but you don't get at the root of the mystery. Why are you fleeing your home and family?
I have to stop my mind from dwelling on her, Cyril. Backbreaking physical labor in a harsh climate will leave no time for pining.
I don't know how backbreaking it would be to shoo penguins. According to legend, they were more or less docile.
How could you understand? You... who are the object of her adoration.
You mean Alice?
The syllables of her name are like the fangs of adders.
Crooked, oversized fangs, I'm sure.
Don't joke. Just shake my hand and wish me well.
I do. My fondest wish is that she leaps out of my life and into your arms. I don't know why she resists you. Your taste in clothing is impeccable. And most of the other virtues begin with dressing well.
It's a moral superiority.
Then you're right to run for your life. Moral superiority and love are like fresh fish and a hot car.
Look here. Do you suppose you could lend me the money for the airship? I'm a little short at the moment.
Of course. I'm sure you'll pay it back in no time from your wages in the animal husbandry industry. Bentley wafted into the room, bearing the old Lapsang Souchong. The smell of burning oil accompanied him.
Ahoy, Bentley! You're overheating to an odoriferous degree.
I should attend to it between the fruity slices and the omelette, sir.
My vitals cried out like a lost lamb.
Jolly good. Cheesy omelette, is it?
Yes, sir.
Real eggs?
Nearly, sir.
Oh, well.
Miss Witherspoon has arrived. I've placed her in the morning room.
Binky whirled round like a vole who hears the hoot of a barn owl.
Do you mean to say she's here?
Now don't go to pieces. We're having breakfast.
How could you?
I would never have invited her in my right mind. Apparently, I was suffering from acute alcohol poisoning.
I can't see her.
Be a man. You can't go ducking into doorways and running off to Antarctica every time Alice sets her paddle-like foot onto the fairway.
What else can I do?
This seemed to require an answer, but the old noodle just rolled over and played dead. It was going to take a lot of lubricant to squeeze through this sticky wicket, and suddenly, I knew just where to find the petroleum jelly.
Here, let's ask Bentley. He'll know what to do.
By Jove, that's brilliant. No one can top Bentley in the thinking department. What about it?
Bentley's expression didn't change, but the odor of stale grease grew sharper.
With all due modesty, my particular model is known for its powers of analytical thinking.
Our friend Binky here has tumbled head over heels for Alice Witherspoon, who is on too high a moral plane to spot him crawling in the dust beneath her.
The scenario is not unfamiliar to me, sir.
I want to get rid of Alice. Binky wants to possess her body and soul. Can the transfer of her affections be achieved?
A distinct whirring sound emanated from deep within Bentley's stately cranium. Only a tiny flicker of his optical senses betrayed the mammoth computational task taking place behind his serene expression.
It's epic, isn't it? Like the Oracle of Delphi.
A tiny puff of steam drifted from Bentley's left ear, and he returned to the mortal plane.
It is generally accepted that in matters of romance, people want most acutely what they cannot have. The popular literature is rife with examples.
But she can have him. His desperation to fling his corporeal and spiritual selves at her is manifest.
It will require subterfuge.
By Jove, I've always been drawn to the stage. Cyril, you remember what a keen thespian I was in school? I was rather good in that Oscar Wilde thing, if you recall.
Yes.
What?
You do have a tendency to spit on stage, you know.
I don't.
I suppose it could be condensation or some sort of spontaneous liquefaction of your leading ladies.
I don't spit.
Have it your way. Now, what's the storyline, Bentley?
The usual ploy is to invent an alternative love interest. This brings the desired object's jealousy into play. Combining this with an icy reserve toward Miss Witherspoon should bring the desired result.
Genius. You're wasted in service, Bentley. You should run for public office.
Heaven forfend, sir. Even a simulacrum has its pride.
Let's try it out at once. Come on, Cyril.
Are you joining us for breakfast?
Oh, thanks awfully. I'd love to.
Bentley, can you whip up another cheesy omelette?
I shall simply make them smaller, sir.
Oh, that seems rather hard on me. I love cheesy omelettes.
This is not the time to cavil about cheesy omelettes. Love is a higher imperative.
Lead on.
Binky didn't hear me, as he was already halfway down the stairs. I hastened to join him and stopped him at the entrance to the morning room.
Let me go in first, old chum, then you saunter in as if you hadn't a care in the world.
Got it. Don't worry. I have a plan.
Please don't say that. It sends shivers down my spine.
I entered the morning room to find Alice and her teeth leafing angrily through a pile of recent periodicals. I had known Alice since we wrestled each other to a draw at dancing school. She had a terrifying certainty about virtually everything, and she was convinced that she and I were destined for each other. I have sometimes wondered what I might have accomplished with all of the energy I have expended in fighting her off over the years. For example, I had always dreamed of inventing a new knot for neckties that would be named after me. Lost opportunities. Sad.
Good morning, Cyril. Death before dishonor.
Death before dishonor.
Really, you must stop reading this tract. It rots the brain.
Au contraire, reading lights up those thinky cells in the old antebellum.
I suppose you mean cerebellum. These are gossip and celebrity magazines. They are not food for thought. They are empty calories. They decay the teeth.
Then you should avoid them at all costs.
Why me in particular? What's so funny?
She glared at me suspiciously, and I managed a look of angelic innocence. Still, it was rather good. Bentley glided in with the coffee.
Shall I serve the fruity slices now, sir?
What do you say, Alice?
All right, thank you, Bentley.
We seated ourselves and did the napkin thingy and sipped our coffee. Time to find out exactly where I stood vis-a-vis matrimony. I say, that was quite an evening last night.
One might almost say momentous.
Would one? Wherefore?
Our minds have never meshed so completely. I believe we came to an understanding.
My lawyers assure me that I am legally prohibited from understanding anything.
Don't joke. I want to talk to you seriously, Cyril. About the future.
Well, a little early in the day, isn't it?
Do stop jumping up and down.
Well, when you spring things on one like a jack-in-the-box.
Now listen to me. Leave the glucose cubes alone, for heaven's sake.
I abandoned my whimsical take on the Great Wall of China.
I love you, Cyril. And I know that under that ridiculous affectation, you love me too.
Well, love is a word freighted with nuance.
Please don't speak. After we're married...
Well,
an uncontrollable spasm caused me to knock my coffee cup clean across the room and send it smashing into a vase that had been in the family for 5 generations. Truthfully, I had always hated it. But still, Bentley was crossing the room with a whisk and dustpan before the echoes of the crash had died.
What's the matter with you, Cyril?
I know I was drunk last night, but surely I'd remember if I proposed.
Words are unnecessary when two people love as we do.
Still, words are wonderful things. Legal things.
Don't whine. It's unbecoming. It is high on my list of your flaws.
You keep a list?
I have been curating it since we were 15.
Well, that's rather hard cheese.
Your use of obscure phrases like that is currently in 6th position.
But seriously, any talk of marriage...
At this moment, Binky made his entrance. He had clearly put a great deal of thought into it. His shoulder entered first, and after a moment of suspense, the back of his head put in an appearance.
Ta-ta, my darling, I shall count the hours until I'm with you once again.
He sighed a deep, shuddering sigh and backed fully into the room. Only then did he slowly rotate, revealing a look of mingled bliss and longing. He started upon seeing us. His eyes grew round and his lips pouted like a codfish.
So sorry. I didn't suspect this salon was in use.
Well, it is. And please don't spit in my coffee. We're having a private conversation.
Binky yawned theatrically, stretched, and stared off into the distance.
Death before dishonor.
Death before dishonor.
Death before dishonor.
What are you doing in Cyril's house, anyway?
Oh, just saying goodbye to someone. You don't know her.
Does she live here? Cyril, who is this woman living in your house?
Who indeed? Yes, I was going to mention that.
Go on.
Binky was concentrating fiercely, but I could see that this flaw in his backstory had thrown him for a loop.
Are you referring to your cousin from the country, sir?
Oh, by Jove, yes! Thank you, Bentley. That's exactly who we were referring to.
A country cousin? You're full of surprises. What is her name?
Yes.
Binky stared desperately at a potted plant by the window.
Gardenia.
An unusual name.
She is as lovely as a flower. We are going to be wed.
Are you? Good. Best thing for you. Now, if you don't mind...
I'm famished.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, sorry.
I forgot that I invited Binky to breakfast as well.
But the table is set for two.
Bendley set down a third plate and began arranging silverware.
Oh well, you're hopelessly unromantic, Cyril.
You can add it to the list.
It is already at number two.
What's number one?
Your greatest flaw is your lack of any trace of seriousness.
Ah, yeah. I see that as a virtue.
So do many of our generation. I believe it is the great scourge of the age.
What is there to be serious about?
Don't slurp your fruity slices like an animal.
But Binky makes a point. Factory-made food has eliminated hunger. The processing of seawater into hydrogen has provided unlimited power. What is there to be serious about?
There is more to life than mere subsistence.
Look around, old girl. This is a ballast sight more than subsistence.
You live in a prison of privilege. For the masses, life lacks these gewgaws and distractions. Nutrition bars and water in a shack hardly constitute a life well lived.
I sympathize, of course.
Do not be so quick to congratulate yourself. Our class suffers a different but equally horrible fate. We are being coddled into extinction. We fill the empty hours with shallow entertainments and elaborate social rituals. For example, death before dishonor.
Death before dishonor.
Death before dishonor.
See? We repeat it constantly without any notion of why we do so. What does it mean? Why do we all say it?
Well, it's because death, don't you know, is what comes before, dishonor.
I think that's wrong, old bean. I think the idea is that dishonor should come after death. That it doesn't matter so much because you're dead, you see. Mm-hmm.
You've proven my point. It's an empty ritual that exists to give us the illusion that there is a moral code that gives meaning to life.
But there is a moral code that gives meaning to life. Isn't there?
Is there?
And what is that code?
Well, death before dishonor, of course. And don't wear stripes with checks, although I'm toying with the idea of smashing that one to smithereens.
I would advise against it, sir.
A gentleman doesn't perform manual labor.
Be true to your club. To insult a man's club is to insult the man.
Don't you see that these ridiculous affectations are not a moral code?
Then what is?
Every individual should have the right of self-determination. All humans are equal.
Let's not lose our heads.
Each generation has an obligation to make the world a better place for future generations.
How do you propose we do that?
We must destroy the patriarchy. Nothing can be achieved while our every whim is satisfied by a monolithic industrial complex. I didn't mean to bring this up until after the wedding.
Ho! The cream pitcher followed the coffee cup across the room, destroying a small china figurine.
I beg your pardon, sir. I should have removed the other breakables from the room after the earlier incident.
Well, don't blame yourself, Bentley. Could have happened to anyone.
For heaven's sake, Cyril, sit down and stop flinging the china.
Are you saying that life is too easy?
Since the discoveries that made our modern way of life possible, our class has devolved into effete, ineffectual fops. A few more generations like this and we'll be apes again.
Sorry, we'll be what?
Apes.
No, doesn't ring a bell.
They used to live in jungles.
In what?
Oh, never mind. Damn the Great Extinction.
But what's the answer?
I am one of a band of like-minded individuals that meet in a clandestine fashion to discuss ways of halting the decline of civilization.
You don't mean you've joined an anarchist cell?
Anarchist is a label we eschew. Our group is called Citizens for a Better Tomorrow.
And how will you achieve your lofty goals?
By dismantling the current infrastructure through selfless acts of heroism.
I can't quite grasp the gist.
We shall kick away the crutches that keep mankind from walking into a new tomorrow.
If you kick away the crutches, mankind will have to crawl into a new tomorrow.
The crutches are metaphorical.
Bentley, can you translate?
I believe they mean to blow things up, sir.
Exactly.
What things?
Oh, you know, factory farms and hydrogen plants and so on.
Food production facilities?
If necessary.
Weasel on stoat! I knew it was you!
I can neither confirm nor deny whatever you're inferring.
What do you hope to achieve by depriving civilization of its sandwiches?
Sandwiches are the opiate of the people.
Even ham?
We discussed this last night. You agreed with all of it. Our minds were one.
That was our momentous conversation?
What did you think it was?
Oh, that. Definitely. Thank God.
We must return to a time when life took work. When men glistened with the sweat of honest labor, their gleaming muscles flexing under thin, homespun smocks. Their women working beside them with heaving breasts, falling into bed at the end of the day to mate like animals. Not the kind of delicate, polite lovemaking you find nowadays, but rough, passionate, desperate sex!
Alice is right. I will join you. I will fight beside you. Take me with you to this new tomorrow!
Your omelette, sir.
A precarious predicament for our hero. Will Bentley's plan save him from matrimony to the dentally challenged Alice? Can Binky maintain the fiction of his imaginary love, Gardenia? Will Alice succeed in blowing society back to the Stone Age? Join us next time for Twits in Love, Chapter 2, A Beastly Day at the Club. Toodaloo! And now, let us bow down before the brilliance of our cast, without whom we would be as dust, blown hither and yon by the winds of fortune. Michael Urie as Cyril Chippington Smike, Christian Borle as Cheswick Whitford Davies, Binky to his friends, Dakin Matthews as Bentley, Helen Cespedes as Alice Witherspoon, and yours truly, Lilius White as a disembodied omnipotent voice. Written by Tom Allen Robbins. Co-directed by Tom Allen Robbins and Dory Berenstein. Produced by Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, Brittany Bigelow, and the Broadway Podcast Network. Press, marketing, social media by Katie Rosen, Ayana Prescod. Sound effects consultant, Eric Wright. Sound designer and editor, Brett Ashley. Executive produced by Liz Armstrong. Good day.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.